Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, Mary,
Mary, Mary,
Neo,
Neo,
baby, up, say,
I just wanna tell the truth, man.
Yeah.
I just wanna tell the truth,
my baby, up, say,
what is this one?
Mr. Mark, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Mr. Mark?
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to make some quick announcements right quick. Welcome to Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio. And today we're going to be talking to Mr. Mark. But let me just make a quick announcement right quick, as I thought I was doing announcements and I was actually on mute. But this is a global platform, so if you're looking for some advertisement, promotion, commercial, radio interviews, or radio spins, this is the perfect platform because we actually have people from different countries listening, like Ghana, Morocco, India, Nigeria, Canada, Trinidad, Europe, part of South America, all the United States. And so if you're looking to advertise your event, your author, or a life coach, this is a perfect platform to advertise on or interview on. This is Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio, and we're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. And you can reach me at 240-640-5492, or you can email me at faithfocusfitness@gmail.com. So, again, I just want to welcome Mr. Mark to the line. Good morning, Mr. Mark. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm great. Hey. I'm great. Sorry about those technical difficulty. I thought I actually had took myself off of mute, and I was doing announcements with the mute on. So, so I was like, okay,
hey,
I'm calling, and he can't hear me.
hey, thanks. My name is Malik.
Oh, okay.
Not Mark.
Okay. Well, I knew it was Malik, but I know we talked about the anonymous thing. That's why I called you Mark.
Oh,
Mr.
Okay.
Malik.
Yeah, we did together about that.
Yes, Mr. Malik. Malik wanted to stay anonymous, guys, so that's why we're using a different name today. But, Mr. Malik, so tell me, when you got your bachelor's degree in communication, did you get that degree before your event or after your event?
It was after.
Okay. All right. So before we start talking about your event, how was your life before that? What kind of things were you what kind of work have you done, and what kind of things were you doing before you had your event?
Well, I used to drive a big truck over the road. I used to be an over-the-road truck driver. Went to truck driving school the week, and then I got on the road.
Okay. How many years did you do that for?
Oh, for 10-plus years, more like 12, 13 years, something like that.
Okay.
Before,
so you must have started at a young age.
Yeah, 19.
Oh, wow. Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty cool because, most 19-year-olds don't stay at one job that long. So it must have been passion for you.
I'm saying I wasn't at one job that long. I had several different jobs, but I was driving a truck the whole time, though. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, one particular job site. Yeah, but I was driving a truck though, nonetheless though. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but most 19-year-olds don't stick at one. Yeah, they don't stick at one position. Like not saying that you didn't have other jobs, but I'm saying they usually don't stick in to one field. They usually be all over the place for a minute until they can find their niche.
Oh yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Now, I was pretty lucky though at around the 80s though. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to grow. I grew up fast though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I grew up fast though.
Yeah, that's understandable. So yeah. Now I know that. How many kids do you have?
I have 3 children, two boys and a girl.
Okay. So you had those children before your accident or before after the accident?
Well, I had one before the accident. And then actually two, really, because one was born a month before my accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I already had one before that. My 28, he's 28 now. And then, like I said, I had a son that was born, he was born a month before my accident. And then I had a, later on 2013, I had a daughter.
Okay. Cool.
After the accident. Yeah.
So when you, I'm going to go into this and then I'm going to come back to the kid, the oldest child. And were you married to their mom or you was just in a relationship with them?
I was my oldest son, I was just in a relationship with his mother. But my two youngest kids, I was married to their mother.
Okay. And how long were you married for?
For 12 years.
Okay.
But we used to get, we were together for 12. We married for 8. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this accident happened. Yeah. So this accident happened while you guys were together then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about that day, the day of the accident. If you can remember, you know, how did your day start out?
Oh, well, it was just like a regular day for real for me because at the time, I was, like I said, I was driving a truck. I used to haul cars out of the Ford plant. And I had a truckload of trucks that was on my truck. And it just started off like a regular day. I had, the truck was already loaded from the night before, and this morning I was planning on getting up, going to unload them. I had the load was going to Chicago, so I got up that morning, and I said, "Well, I got in my car that day, got in my car, and I said, no, that's a nice day outside. I'm just going to take my motorcycle." And that's where it all started. Now, instead of getting in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
I got
what time is it? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Mark. I'm in Malik.
Okay. Well, I got on my motorcycle. And I drove my motorcycle to work instead of my car.
Mm-hmm. So, when you what time of the day was that when you were leaving for work? Was it in the morning or afternoon or the evening?
No, it was in the morning. It was in the morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning.
So it was broad daylight.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Okay, I'm just reason why I'm asking you these questions is because I'm just giving people a visual of you riding your motorcycle and how, trying to figure out how this accident happened. And was it raining, snowing, or was it a dry day?
No, it was a beautiful day, actually. It was in June, and it was a beautiful day outside that day.
Okay.
I want to take my motorcycle. Uh-huh.
Your phone breaking up a little bit. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Then that's what made me want to take my motorcycle because it was beautiful outside.
Right. Okay. So you're driving down the street, and what happened that you, if you can remember?
Yeah. Well, I'm riding down the street and I pull up at a stoplight. You know, the whole time. You know, of course, I had my helmet on. God used to always put it on my heart to wear my helmet, though, all the time. And this particular day, I had my helmet on my motorcycle. I'm on my way to work. And I pulled up at a stoplight. And my light changed green on my side with an arrow on my side. So on the other side, the opposite direction, it was red on his side. So I proceeded to go through the light, but I took off slowly because I saw an approaching car coming in my direction, and she was coming kind of the car was coming kind of fast to be approaching a red light, and so I just was taking my time. I was paying attention to this car. But the car kept coming, even as I got into the middle of the intersection. So I dipped off and I tried to turn to the right on the street that was adjacent to me. I turned right on the street. And the lady just kept coming. And she just, I closed my eyes. And I remember her just hitting me. That's the last thing I remember. Closed my eyes. I woke up 3 days later in the hospital.
Wow. So when you were in the hospital, well, that's when they told you that, you know, you was in a terrible accident. Now, how long were you in the hospital for?
I was in the hospital for 6 months. Then I had to go to rehab for 6 months after that.
Wow.
And they was just trying to, you know, because I broke my whole body, got mangled in the accident. My body did, you know, I broke my leg, my left kneecap, right. I broke both of the bones in my right leg. My left hip was dislocated. I had my three fingers on my left hand, my pinky, my ring finger, and my middle finger on my left hand were all, they came completely off my hand.
Wow.
And somebody, the people found them, ambulance people found them, and they were able to, the doctor was able to put them back on my hand, but they put them on my hand without knuckles, so I can't make a fist with my left hand, and my right arm got paralyzed. An accident.
Wow.
And when I woke up, I remember out of the, because I put me in an induced coma for 3 days. When I woke up, because I was in so much pain and agony and stuff, and so when I woke up, I remember my mother being right there next to me. I was like, "Mama, get my arm from me. It's like it's asleep. I can't move it." That's what I said to my mother. She said, "Baby, sit up and look at yourself. You've been in an accident, and your arm is paralyzed." What my mother said to me, I remember just like it was yesterday. Those were her exact words to me, and that all I heard was paralyzed. I was devastated after that. I mean, I needed some medication and everything to calm me down because I went and started going crazy in the hospital.
Right. Like any normal person would, Well, so basically, by the time you got out the hospital, your baby that was a month old was a year old then.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So you missed a lot of the baby, you know, the important days of the baby, with the baby.
Right. With him, sure did. I mean, I got a chance to see him because my wife then, she would bring them to see me and stuff like that. But, of course, I didn't get a chance to spend the time with them like I would like to have done. But, yeah, I missed out on a lot of baby time with them, though.
So while you was in the hospital, when did you find out about the driver, who the driver was, and, you know, did a lawyer come and talk to you while you were in the hospital?
No, I never. I never actually met the lady or her family. Nobody ever in her family never reached out to me to this day.
Really?
Right. where how I know about her is because I got a lawyer, and my lawyer, he did his investigating and stuff and found out who she was, and he pursued a lawsuit against her, and that's how I found out who she was. The lady was 88 years old.
So wait a minute, let's go back for a minute. You mean to tell me, even to this day, how many years has it been since your accident, Mr. Malik?
Well, the accident was in 2000, June of 2000. So it's been 19 years, going on 20.
19 years. How old were you at the time of the accident?
I was 30.
Wow. So for 19 years, still to this day, not one person came to you and apologized to even check to see how you are or what happened to you.
Oh, no. No, not one person from her family or nobody. Only way I knew who she was because, I got a lawyer. He did his investigative report, and he found out who she was. That's the only way I found out.
Right. So when you got your lawyer, were you still in the hospital, or you waited until you got out the hospital to get a lawyer?
No, I was in the hospital. My mom and dad actually got the lawyer for me, but yeah, I was still in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Your phone is muffled really bad. We can't hear you.
I was still in the hospital at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So he finds out that the lady is 88 years old. And even when you guys went for deposition, did they go for your deposition while you were in the hospital, or they did it after you came out the hospital?
No, it went on while I was in rehab.
Okay.
In the six months stay, I was in rehab. That's when the deposition went on as far as the case and everything. And we was in the selling.
Your phone is breaking up. Your phone is breaking up bad. We didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
They did the deposition while the 6 month stay while I was in rehab.
Okay. Okay, so that explains that the reason why you didn't get to see her, because most of the time in deposition they have all the parties up in there, or the lawyers, or at least the lawyers too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I never saw who I never actually laid eyes on that lady, so I don't know who she is. I'm pointing her out in the lineup right now if I was to see her.
Mm-hmm. Now, what state were you in when this accident happened?
I was in Kentucky.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to come back, and we're going to take a quick break right quick. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what happened the following days after you getting out the hospital. So we're going to take a quick break right quick, and we'll be right back, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
That you ain't coming back. In the beginning everything was cool, toward the end of it all it's all bad. I know I played my part in making it what it is, and I know that you did the same. I guess I'm out of here, I'm moving on again. I'm sure that you will understand. I play by the rules, you play by the game. I couldn't have stayed, it's easier to say, cause I was by your side. The pain. I guess it doesn't matter now that you're so far away. And every minute you're gone, I'm missing you so, but can't believe that you're far away. Can't get you out of my mind, boy, you're out of my life. I can't believe that you're far away. Yes.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio. 7 a.m. to noon at Eastern Standard Time. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. That is 563-999-3741. You're more than welcome to call in and ask any questions. And so, Mr. Malik, let's talk about, I know you, let's talk about after you got at the hospital. When you got at the hospital, I mean, when you got home, were you in the wheelchair then at that time? Or you were able to walk?
I was able to walk at that time.
Okay.
When I had the accident and I had all these surgeries and everything, the doctors noticed from an MRI that I had blood dripping on my spine. But they elected not to do anything about it because they said it by being on my dripping on my spine like that, that they could paralyze me if they go in and try to do surgery. There's a potential chance they could paralyze me. And I didn't want to take that chance, and they didn't want to take that chance either by me being walking around and everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how long did – so I know you talked about you said you was feeling funny this one particular day and you went to go take a nap. How long ago was – far was that from you getting out the hospital to that day that happened, the day that you started feeling funny?
That's amazing because it took 10 years for that to happen to me. I walked around for 10 years before that actually happened, before I went to sleep. I had to drag my left leg because I couldn't bend it at the knee. It got to the point of that, you know what I'm saying, where I couldn't hardly bend my knee. I couldn't bend it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just gradually kind of worked its way to that state. And once I went to sleep, I remember going to sleep that night, and when I woke up, I was paralyzed from the waist down. I couldn't feel nothing. I woke up to that. I was devastated by it, too.
I'm sure you were. So were you home alone, or were you were you with your wife at the time?
Well, we were divorced then. I was living by myself. And I actually lived in a townhouse where I had to walk up steps, and I was dragging my leg, my left leg, to get up these steps that night, I remember. And once I laid down, I woke up and couldn't move.
Wow. So, since you was living by yourself, how were you able? Was your phone near you for you to call for some help, or how were you able to get some help?
No, that's exactly what it was. I was right there. I was laying. My phone was laying right next to me, and that's how I was able to call for help. I called every person in my phone book. In my contacts down there, and everybody, I had a lot of people over my house that day, and I'm going to the hospital and stuff, you know, that blood.
Mr. Malik?
Yes.
The last thing we heard, because your phone broke up, was I called everybody in my contacts. That was the last thing we heard.
Okay, yeah, I called everybody in my contacts. And a whole lot of people came over my house, my mother and father at the time, they were in there, and I ended up going to the hospital, and it just took flight from there. I had to stay in the hospital for a little while then, too, because they actually had that surgery done to correct that blood from dripping on my spine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, after I had that surgery, I stayed in the hospital for about, I guess, a couple months then. And then I had to get fitted for a wheelchair and all this. And so, you know, because I couldn't walk no more. So he had to give me, I had to get a power chair because I couldn't. I only got one arm. From my right arm was paralyzed in a motorcycle accident.
Mhm.
And so it left me with just my left arm.
Right.
As my only working limb.
Wow. Well, I know you're devastated from that because I mean I know I'm just sitting here imagining what I would have been thinking or going through. So I'm sorry that happened to you. And the crazy thing is, I know by that time you already had settled out of court and things like that, so you didn't even know that this was going to be the outcome of this. So you definitely did not get compensated. You didn't get compensated for none of this afterwards.
Right.
Wow.
But this is going to happen.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I didn't have a clue that this was going to be happening, that that would have happened to me like that.
Right.
It was just, Right.
Right. Well, the crazy thing, Mr. Malik, I was in a car accident back in 2008, and I had settled out from that. But just recently in 2017, I actually was at a car dealer. I'm getting my car worked on, getting the oil change. And you know how when you park your car in the bay and they come out and get your car and take it to get service, I was walking to that door and I actually had to slip and fall on some oil and water. And I broke a bone in my knee, re-injured my shoulder, my back, and got a dislocated hip. And it's crazy because from that accident re-injured me. That accident, slip and fall, actually re-injured me from the car accident. And so right now I'm going through some, I'm definitely going through some stuff right now. I got a dislocated knee and hip myself, which I got to get that surgery worked on. But the crazy thing is I'm sitting here thinking about some of the stuff you went through and thinking about what I'm going through. And it's like I need to go back and make sure everything correct with me because I'm telling you. I mean, that's just crazy not knowing that all them years later, you know what I'm saying? And then also, you know, all them years later, you end up going through that.
Right.
So when you got out the hospital with that, what happened? Well, what happened while you was in the hospital? Or what did you, you know, did you go back home alone after that? Or what happened?
Well, yeah, I went back home alone, but I was in my wheelchair and I went back home alone. But I only stayed by myself. I did that for a little bit. I did that for about roughly 6 months or so. You know, having caretakers come over to the house and you know, deal with me and stuff in the morning and in the night. But that lasted, like I said, roughly about 6 months or so. And then I had to come, my mother saw it best for me to go to a facility.
Mm-hmm.
To check myself into a facility where I have, like, round-the-clock care if I needed it or whatever. And, And so that's what I ended up doing. That's why I stand right now today is in the facility.
Right. So I know it came to a part in your life where they had to amputate your legs. What happened before that they made that decision?
Because I've been paralyzed from the waist down. I was sitting in my wheel. I used to sit in my wheelchair, and with no shoes on, just had my socks on, and the foot. I had my my feet in the foot plate. And I was applying too much pressure on my feet. Not knowing, unbeknownst to me or my caretakers at the time, that I was cutting circulation off from my leg doing that, putting so much pressure on my feet. And what it ended up doing was, like I said, cut the blood circulation off, and it started turning my legs black from the lack of blood flow to my legs. And that led to them having to amputate them.
Wow.
My legs.
And so they amputated both of them at the same time?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about that, you know, when they told you that they had to do that?
I was devastated. Even though I was paralyzed, I still, it was something about that to me, though, that I didn't want them to take nothing else away from me like that. And like I said, I was paralyzed from the waist down, though. And I didn't have any use of my legs. I had one of my legs, though, you know. And they had to go. And I went through a depression state there for a little while. I had to talk to a psychiatrist, and they had me on medication and all kinds of stuff. But I was devastated by them having to cut my legs off like that.
Right. Whew, I know I'll probably be like, give me the whole pharmacy, because I don't know if I could. That's something very devastating.
I know it is, though. It really was, though. And I thank God every day of my life to this day for having a sound mind, you know what I'm saying, throughout all my devastation that I went through. I got a sound mind, though. And I'm so grateful for that, though, because I could have easily just seemed like I could easily have lost my damn mind, though.
Right. Right.
But I didn't.
Wow. Right. So.
Yeah.
Once that happened, that's when you guys made the decision for you to go into the rehab.
Oh yeah. To the facility, you mean? Yeah.
And from how long from that time, from when you found out you was paralyzed, till they had to do the amputation, how much time went past then?
Oh. It took a little time, though, probably roughly, thinking back on it, probably between 3 and 6 months, 4 months, 5 months. It was right in there somewhere like that, though. And it wasn't a long time. It was, you know, it was just in a time that I was living alone, and I'm having caretakers come over every day in the morning and at night, get me out the bed and put me in the bed pretty much. And I could cook for myself, and they would clean up too for me, you know what I'm saying? But I could cook for myself, though. Even I just had to maneuver around in the kitchen and stuff, and I was able to do it. And I had everything at the level where I can get it, and everything in the house I was living in at the time. And my landlord at the time worked with me. He had a ramp built on the back for me. And I had a guy from my church at the time built a ramp on the front for me. And I made the house handicap accessible, because it wasn't like that at first. But I got it together where it was. So.
Right.
Yeah. I had to just,
but that was,
you know,
nice of the landlord.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Very nice of him. We still friends to this day.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Whew. So, but even though that happened in 3 to 6 months, that's actually fast.
Oh yeah, no
that's
doubt.
Actually,
it really is.
So, wow. Well, I know one thing, that some of those people that come in, those nurses' aides, they don't have the skills to know what's right and wrong. They just really know that they're supposed to come in there cooking clean and clean bandages, basically. But at the same time, right, they're supposed to know that what they see. And so I'm surprised that they didn't notice that your feet were turning black, your legs were turning black.
Right. I mean, yeah, they. And I talked to one of the girls after that, and she said she did notice it, but she just thought that it was just a part of something I was going through, and she didn't mention it to me for real about it. You know what I'm saying? I never really, because it wasn't causing me no harm, and I wasn't complaining about it or nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because I couldn't feel it, and I didn't know. There's a reason why I wasn't complaining
right
about it, and, you know, causing me no pain or discomfort. But
right, because
she
was paralyzed.
Felt real bad about it. And, yeah. And she said, she, you know, said she felt real bad about it and stuff once everything came to pass, though, you know what I'm saying? She realized what it was after the fact. She said she felt real bad about it and stuff, you know, and she apologized to me and all that, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Wow. Well, at least she acknowledged it, and, you know, she apologized. Wow. Well, you know, even though, we all go through stuff, everybody go through stuff, and some people go through worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
Before we even born, God already knew what our plan, and there's a reason why, you know, unfortunately things happen. I mean, I didn't know until I had that accident that I was going to have to learn how to walk, talk, and eat all over again and learn how to write. And,
mm-hmm,
and you didn't know this was your plan, too. But it's the reason why God, you know, these things happen to us. It's not anything that we've done. You know, it's just that was part of the plan. And so,
yeah.
But I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. But, Mr. Malik, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, go for it. I'm listening.
I was going to say, if you can say anything to the world about your situation, you know, what you experienced, what would you say to the people? You know, we're on a global platform. If you could say anything
right
to these people about your tragic story, what would you say to them?
Well, one of the first things I would say to somebody is, develop a relationship with God before something bad happens to you. Wait until something bad happens to you and then try to call on God, because a lot of people do that. I didn't do that. I already have built a relationship with God before it happened to me. And I was able to stay strong and keep my head up about it, you know, through the whole process.
All right.
And, yeah, but I would also say another thing I would say to somebody is about motorcycle safety is to wear a helmet always. I don't care if it's hot and humid outside, whatever the case may be, always wear a helmet. Safety first.
Right. Right. The other thing is they need to start trying to change the laws with some of these people that's driving after a certain age.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I try to get some of that done when I was in Kentucky. I tried to get something done, but the Metro Council, they weren't trying to hear nothing I was talking about as far as that's concerned. Because we all know this, like, when people of a certain age or whatever, when they old, they drive real slow, or they reflexes are not the same as they used to be or as a younger person, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they're not as alert as they were when they were younger. And, you know, some of them can't see sometimes during, at certain times of the day, like at night or when it's dusk, you know what I'm saying? And so, it's just our body take a change, though. And we, you know what I'm saying, and we start off as a baby and we end up reverting to and our bodies go through the whole change, and we revert right back to being a baby again as the older we get. You know what I'm saying? Because we start needing people to help us, you know, wear the pins and all that type of stuff. And yeah.
And you're right about that. I mean, it's very scary out there, knowing that people out there, you know, older age like that. And matter of fact, I was sitting here thinking about, I was looking at a video where these three young guys was helping these older people get in the car. And they literally had to pick the older lady up to put her in the car. But her husband was on the walker. He barely was able to get around to the car to get in the car. And I was just like, wow. So if you definitely, not just the point that you can't hardly see, but if you definitely to the point that you definitely need that much help from some neighbors or passerbys to help you get in the car, that is at a point that it's time to shut it down. And get from behind the wheel.
A lot of people, like older people, and they got might have kids or whatever. Their kids want to take the keys from them and stuff. I mean, but their kids, no, I'm on the job, and this and that. And they all raise a lot of things with their children or their caretakers about them driving and stuff still. And so a lot of people just give in to them. You know what I'm saying? And they reflect you, your reflexes aren't the same anymore. You know, it's the way you were 30, you've been 80, you know.
Right.
It's just a shame, though. I mean, and it causes a lot of accidents. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, but
your phone is breaking up really, Malik, your phone is breaking up really bad.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, I did some statistics, and
about older people opposed to younger people, and you know, you're just not the same person anymore. You know, being a young, vibrant, middle-aged person to an old man or old woman. It just changes, and it's just part of life, and it's what it is.
Right.
A lot of people don't want to accept it. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to, you know, they don't want the independence taken away from them, so to speak. And so they still go out here and do it, and they drive and stuff, and they cause accidents. They drive real slow. They cause accidents doing a lot of things besides just running red lights like the lady hit me, you know. That's a variety of things, reasons why they shouldn't be on the road like that.
Right. Wow. Well, yeah, it definitely need to be a law passed behind that. And I'm sure they'll probably try to use discrimination. They'll probably try to use it as discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not about discrimination in that situation. It's about keeping people safe. And I know it's a whole lot of more stories out there, the same kind of story you went through, that I know is more stories out there. And they just need to be told. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on my radio so that you could tell your story. And hopefully one day you'll write a book about it.
I'm definitely interested in writing a book about it.
Right. I think the perfect name of the book should be No Fault of Mine.
Say it again.
No Fault of Mine.
Oh, yeah, No Fault of Mine. That's a good one. Because you know something? I swear I've been thinking about the name of the book. And you just come right off the top of your head with that like that. That is so nice. I like that. Yeah,
because it is. It's no fault of yours. Yep, it's no fault of yours. It's, you know, so I'm like, that's a definite, you know, I thought that would be a good name for your book. So, you know, one name out there, put it on your list.
That's going to be it. I get this book. I get this book started up. That's gonna be the name of it right there. I'm gonna attribute it to you. Yeah, that's nice right there. I like that.
Yes, sir. Well, we have a few minutes left of the show. I want to thank you for, you know, getting on the show and, you know, telling, sharing your story with people. And once we get your, look, once you get your book copyrighted and things, because, you know, like I said, you know, whatever it is, it must be a plan of God, because I know you talked about writing a book. So, you know, once you get the book wrote, I mean, I would love to have you back on the show again.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I want to.
Okay.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, for sure, though. I mean, I'm glad. I really appreciate you having me on the show today. And this is a platform unlike I've been on before. And I hope somebody out there hears what I went through and maybe could help save somebody else's life or something, you know.
Yes.
Going forward, maybe it might be a thing for me to be able to write a book about my life, you know.
Right.
Because, I gave you the short version of it, though, because, you know, of course, it's a time frame that we got to stay with, and though, for your show, and I understand
that. Yes, sir.
So I really appreciate you, though, Faith. Though, I just want you to keep up good work, because you're doing a good thing, though.
I appreciate you. I like doing this. I think it's pretty cool to help people tell these stories and have some type of closure. So, but you know, no problem. I appreciate you for taking out your time to get on.
Yes, ma'am. All
right.
All good. I'm not moving.
So there it is. That's Mr. Malik's true story about his tragic accident. And I just want to thank the people that got online on Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Show. And don't forget, we're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. That is Eastern Standard Time. If you're looking for some advertisement, promotions, or radio spins, you can reach me at 240-640-5492. Or you can email me at faithfocusfinish@gmail.com. And next week, I'm only going to be on Monday, and I'm going to take the next and I won't be back on until the following Monday because I'm going to be traveling, and then I'm going to be enjoying my family for the holidays. So I will be having the show on Monday, and then I'm going to resume back the next following Monday afterwards. All right, you guys, have a great and blessed day, and talk to you soon.
But remember one thing. Thank you.